Yes, Ugo Dre is here, and you know when he's in the studio, it's business half hour on Classic FM 97.3. We have another interesting guest this morning, but we always leave them to unveil themselves as always. Good morning.
Yep. Hi, Bukola. What's up? How are you?
Thank you.
How was your weekend?
Wasn't bad at all.
All right, I think I had a swell weekend. It's always good when you have a weekend and you're making some money by the side.
That's
always a good thing. All right, Lagos, welcome to Business Half Hour. We do this every Monday morning, 8 to 8:30. For anybody who is at work already, or you're on your way to work, and you're hoping to listen to some inspiration from some of the most amazing entrepreneurs that we brought on this show. As usual, Naira Metrics, we scourge all around just to get you some of the best brains doing amazing things in the world of business. Some names that you probably know of and others that you probably don't know of, but these guys are doing amazing stuff. We learned a lot, haven't we?
We have. You know, it's quite interesting. Like we said the other time, we've brought a lot of young ones on the show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if we could actually turn back the hands of the clock, you want to be their age,
man,
and
like
start to achieve
very
things.
Very brazen things. All right, Lagos. So today, just like Bukola said, we have another special guest. My God, and this one happens to be my man. So, but this guy has been making money for some time. Like, he's been there all around.
Yeah,
quietly, couldn't you? I'm sure some of you know him already, but he's on the show today to come and share some tips. I mean, like what it takes to be an entrepreneur in this town, in this rough town. So as usual, we'll let you introduce yourself, my bro.
Hello, hi. My name is Obuefi Noble Chibuzo Igwe. Obuefi Omwa Omamako. And I'm happy to be here. As a titled Igbo man, I have to say hello to my Igbo people. Igbo friend! Yes, I work for the 360 Group, owners of 360nobs.com, 360 Delivery, 360 Management, Star Vitae, and recently Twice by Noobs Fashion.
Noobs, you're just a conglomerate.
I'm an Igbo man.
You're a conglomerate. Like, at least since I've known Noble, Noble has organized some of the
biggest parties
in this town, not just in Lagos, but like across the country.
Yes.
You've run a very successful blog, fashion. I mean, like, how do you do all these things?
So, how do I do all these things? I always put Naira and Kobo at the end of every discussion. So the thing is, like, so I'm one of those people who, I came to Lagos in 2005. The radio program is for 30 minutes. So I don't have, like, enough time to tell my story. But I usually tell people I'm not from a poor home, but I was one of those guys who started doing things for himself. So when I told my dad that I was moving to Lagos in 2005, he told me that he wanted me to work in his business. You know how most Igbo men who
they want to just take
wants
over.
The first son to like work for them. So he said he wasn't going to pay for my flight ticket. So I took a night bus, Ifesnachi, to come to Lagos in March in 2005. I was rushing for my interview at Virgin Nigeria, and I had to have my bath at the Ifesnachi bus station at Jibowo. So I had my bath in the park, then I changed into my suit and I went to Eco Hotel for my interview, and I got the job. But my dad also asked me not to stay with any of my cousins or anything. So I stayed with my friend's girlfriend. Her name is Chinwe. Her boyfriend then, who is her husband now, OGB Uzibre, allowed me to stay in her house.
He trusted you?
Yes, I'm that guy. And, so I started there. I said I worked at Virgin. I worked at Virgin from 2005 to 2008. And one of the best things that ever happened to me, the best opportunity I ever got in life, was given to me by Dr. Yemi Oshendero. I was working at the call center. He gave me an opportunity to organize the first ever Virgin Nigeria anniversary. And
after, as a call center staff?
As a call center staff,
interesting.
Yeah. So after I did it on Saturday, and I came to work on Monday, and my colleagues told me that I no longer had a table at the call center, that I've been moved to marketing. So I started the Virgin Nigeria event and sponsorship table at then. Mm. Then I was there, and it was from Virgin. I started doing some side events So I started working for the Mohis Group, so Dandazi, Dibanj, Wandeko. And in 2008, I launched MI's first album, Talk About It. I actually worked on design with Odemi and everything, then worked with Banky W. Then in 2009, I was approached by Bella Niger to write for them. I started writing for them. And but Bella Niger wanted me to write in a particular way. They didn't like the troubles that come in my writing.
Because it was very controversial.
In my mind, like, Then I needed to launch my own platform where I can say things the way I want to say things. Yeah, like, so I launched PrecisionNobs.com, and then in 2009 I left paid employment. I went to 1-for-1 advertising.
So all through this period you were still in paid employment?
I was doing all this on the side. So okay. Like, you know, or even my parties, I was doing events at Sweba. I don't know if you remember Sweba.
Of course.
At Sweba. Then Sweba became a bit small for me, so I moved to the Marquee. The Marquee became a bit small for me. Then I moved it to a private house in Lekki Phase 1. So, and then I was doing something at Deuces. So, like, you know, so I was always trying to do something to raise money to start my own business, because I was an Igbo boy and I didn't think anybody was going to give me money to invest in the business. So I was doing my side hustle to raise money to save and to do my own thing. So yeah, then
cool.
You know,
cool.
Then launched. So I was dating someone in 2012, and her mom thought that I didn't have anything solid, like, because I was doing like my parties, my blog, and everything. So I needed to do something that she can touch. So I launched our 360 Delivery, which is my logistics company. So
that was the story behind 360 Delivery.
Yeah, you know, so I needed to like get an office, buy cars. She held on to something and said, oh, this is what my like my future son-in-law to be, like, you know, was doing. But I mean, it didn't work that way. So we broke up, but the business stayed. And in 2014, I launched Star Vitek, which is one of the biggest fashion-only sites in Nigeria. And in 2017, I launched Tries by Nobs, which is one of the best things that I've done in recent times. So
amazing journey, man. I mean, like, I I've known you for a long time now, but I didn't know you had all this done as a side hustle. I probably knew you when you started your slush party. So yeah. I didn't even know you had a 9-to-5 at that time.
Yes, I had a day job.
Incredible stuff. So I mean, a lot of guys that come here, especially entrepreneurs who, sure, very young ones who probably didn't have any 9-to-5. You know, experience, they always look back and say, look, if they could, you know, start all over again, they probably would get a 9-to-5 first. So, I mean, for you, was there any advantage starting with a 9-to-5, or would you, if you were to start all over again, would you have just started straight out as a businessman?
No, I think the only thing that I would probably have done, I would have gone back to school and I'd done maybe like geography or Igbo or something, so I could leave school in time. But apart from that, I feel like people need to get that corporate experience. People need to know how to write emails, who to copy, who to blind copy, how to say
proposals,
how to proposals and everything. People need to know how to do like a PowerPoint, a presentation, everything. I think it has helped me. So if I have to go back in time, I'll still get my job. That's one. And two, I don't think I've been able to achieve anything if not for the fact that I had my job at Virgin Nigeria. And I give you reasons, right? So at Virgin, when I was working on the event and sponsorship department, I was exposed to the entertainment industry, which is something that I already liked, right? So it gave me an opportunity to meet the comedians, AY, Basket Mart, every single person who...
And this was at their nascent time.
Exactly. For some people, they still remember that we hustled together. For some people, I remember that I was able to give them their first international show. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so I was able to, like, you know, work towards them getting ticket to fly their the comedians and some of the sponsors to London or some other cities that Virgin Nigeria was flying back in days. So, but the thing is, so it helped me, that kind of friendship, but it also provided me an opportunity to meet some people who I was watching growing up. Like, you know, I used to people, like, you know, back in the day in Aba, because I grew up in Aba, we used to watch people like RMD, Rita Dominic, Genevieve Nnaji on TV. But right now I can like WhatsApp them to say, are you okay?
What's up?
What's happening? So like I thank God for growth, but it's important that if you can get a proper 9-to-5 job, it's important. And you need to know who to respect. You need to work in an environment for someone else's business or in a blue chip company or whatnot. But you know, a hierarchy, who to respect, who not to respect, plugging into work and leaving at the end of work, is those things are important. You need to have the discipline.
Yeah.
I think the discipline helps. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's important for anybody who's listening. I mean, we've said it here over and over again, and it's always important to hear this from people who have done it before. And they keep telling you that, look, regardless of how difficult it is, or how you know, urgent, or how you feel you need to just start out something, always important to have that little bit of 9-to-5 experience. So let's drill down into some of your businesses. I mean, like, you've been in entertainment. I think you've also managed artists, logistics, fashion. Kai, you're a really poor man.
He's been
so, like, you know, among this different kind of businesses.
Yes.
I mean, you've experienced a lot of challenges, man, and being an entrepreneur is not easy, especially in this time. I think you've done this now 10 years or so, plus on the bounce.
Yes.
What has been the lessons for you? And I mean, what would you tell upstarts coming up now? Like, look, you know, what that experience is that you can share.
Do you mean apart from like starting a business because like, your mother-in-law asked you to get something more solid? So one of the few things is to know that sometimes if you can afford it, save money to start up your own business. So that even the business fails, you don't have to go somewhere to borrow money to pay back the person that you borrowed money from. Unless it's an agreement with a bank or something that the business doesn't come through, we can all go our separate ways. So then government policies is also one important thing. So when I started my logistic business, it was during Fashola's tenure. And they woke up one morning and they were like, they don't want any bike on the road that's not 200cc and above. So back in the day, if you didn't have like a power bike or something, you couldn't do
that business,
the delivery business and everything. So I have to like, you know, find people who could buy the bike, move the bike to the north or to the east where they were still allowing such bikes to run, then buy 200cc bikes and above, like, you know, 200cc and above bikes. Then on coming back to Lagos with my new bikes and everything, the government said, oh, you know what, some roads are out of bounds to bikes. So, you know, so you have to deliver something to someone, but you can't like,
you can't really go in.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, so those also affect. But you also, I mean, people might have been here talk about power and internet. The internet.
That one is so annoying.
Yes.
Eh?
Like, you know, like
you something really, as easy as that.
And
that
you
want to
pay
easy.
For this business. Like, yeah. you really want to pay for and it's like it's the minimum, like it's something simple. Like, and I also think a lot of businesses are fell because of power. And let me explain to you, right? I don't think every business deserves to have a big office or a service office.
Yeah.
I think
some
business should start at home or in a garage. But the thing is, like, if you stay at home, right, and you have a generator set, you have to run it twice.
Yeah.
So you run
it
during the day because you want to do your business. You run it at night because you have to sleep or something. So power is a very big deal. And because also we don't have affordable shared spaces. Let me explain to you, right?
Yeah, expensive, though.
Exactly. So overseas, they build up. Right. So what they do is like they get a piece of land and they build, let me talk about 6 offices on each floor, but they keep building up because there's light. So they can have elevators that go to the 20th floor or something floor.
Yeah.
So, and it's like a more affordable for people to come together and share office. But here, if you need to start a business, right, if you need where people can meet you, you have to be in Ikoyi, for instance. And because of there are a lot of businesses in Ikoyi, so there's traffic, they need to move to VI. Then VI is also almost not affordable.
As well.
You get what I'm trying to say? They need to move to Lekki, but Lekki was supposed to be a residential area. But so there's always that issue. But the thing is, if you need to succeed in your business, there has to be that other business that does not require so much that can even afford
that
to
can
pay
even subsidize the
exactly
other ones.
Like, yes. So that
you know, I was going to go into so let me just delve into this before we go on break into your various businesses. I mean, it takes a lot of guts to wake up and then start something new. You know, even though you have another thing running by the side and you move on. So, I mean, there's got to be some kind of, you know, spirit or will that just comes inside you. I mean, so what does it take? Because people are listening like, how does this guy just wake up and say, look, you know what? I'm going from running 360nobs.com to starting 360 delivery, even though it was a potential mother-in-law.
Yeah. Something
inspired,
came out
and
of
then
it.
Moving into, I mean, like, how do you do that? What comes into you?
Because the thing is, right, so I usually tell these people, which my son somehow, I'm an Igbo boy, I'm very proud of my Igbo accent. and I grew up in a city, I grew up in a city where the only thing you have to do is succeed. The only thing you have to do is be successful.
Okay.
So you need to have to manage your own expectation to know, like, listen, if you need to have that good life, you need to have multiple sources of income. And so for me, it's usually like I start businesses because I want to be in charge of the businesses. I start businesses and I hire capable people to monitor or to manage the different aspects of the business so I can be anywhere. Like, you know, I tell people that I've never posted one article in my life. A lot of people don't believe. I've never gone to the site and click attach pictures, attach articles. What I do is like I can write. I can tell you when I want you to post the article, but I have never posted. So for Starvity, I can tell, all my colleagues who work on the different, they know what their work is, but I can come and be in front of the board and say, this is how, because the thing is, I want to be able to start businesses and have the business run
on
their own, and then be able to start something new. So it gives me that leverage. So I don't want to be like, you know, I never told anybody I'm the CEO of anything. I always say, like, you know, creative director for this or, you know, marketing manager or something. Nobody calls me CEO, nobody calls me a guy. And something I learned from Virgin is that also at first name basis in the
business. Yeah, so you have that kind of culture.
There's no Mr. Noble. There's no people who start work, they call me Noble when they start. Maybe 2 weeks into work, they call me Nobs. So, but the thing is, like, I like to create a structure where it is possible for people to take the business as their own and not as something that they're doing for you. And I've seen that work on it.
All right, quickly, though. I mean, seeing that you have a lot of all this going on and you're big on trying to, like, bootstrap businesses on your own, like, if you had some kind of funding or, okay, let me just switch it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, are you open to, at some point in time, where people, you can say, okay, you know what, you know, I want to take this 360 Noobs empire to the next level, maybe possibly raise mega bucks, or maybe in 10 years time you're looking at listing. I mean, do you have all those kind of things playing in your mind sometimes?
So I have
mean, World Watch Empire now.
Yes,
sometimes you get inspired by those things, even though it's just a series.
Yeah, so I have that kind of idea. I have those kind of plans in my head. But what,
because you have a known brand, by the way.
Most Nigerian investors just want to say, I want to give you money, and, like, you know, so but you still work in the business and everything. So most people just want to give money to double their money, which makes you feel like you're also working for someone.
To work for someone.
Yeah, so I think that's the bad part. But if somebody's going to say, like, you know what, I want to help you scale up, but let's have a 5-year plan, like, or maybe like 10 years or whatever. I'm willing to do that. Because the thing is, like, you know, if you've been opportunity to travel out of Nigeria, you find out that even most of the things we're doing, especially in entertainment, we haven't even scaled.
Exactly.
Like, you know, to the next
level. We haven't at all.
Yeah, but you need the money to go to the next level. And you need not just money, but you need, like, enough money to be able to say, you know what, this is what I want to do. That's not, because I didn't want to have, like, start with, say, Ghana, start with, say, Uganda. You need to be able to, like, you know,
exactly,
take entertainment to these people and tell them this is how to do this. Yeah, so if I have the right investor, I'll be willing to do that. The only thing, like, I don't want somebody to give me money and I'll be like, oh God, I need to pay back this money. Yeah, I need to have to go on a break, right?
We need to go on a break.
Patient capital, guys. Patient capital.
On and on and on. All right. It is Business Half Hour here on Classic FM 97.3. Ugo Dre in the studio, Noble Igwe as well. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
They can come true.
Definitely dreams can come true. If you listen to the show from the very beginning, Noble sharing his story, you know, the part that caught me when he got to the park and he had to take his bath there at the park to meet an interview.
You know, like when you hear stories of people, you know, entrepreneurs doing a lot of very, very, you know, incredible stuff, This is the part that you probably don't hear. Mm. The kind of things that they do, the kind of risk that they take.
And that is every what a lot of people want
just,
to hear.
Yeah, just to survive, especially in this kind of country. So it's not that easy. I mean, it's not easy at all. So now let's delve into something else that you're very, very, very good at. And I think it's something that I've always felt like entrepreneurs should always look at this side if they want to be very successful, and that's networking. I think that if there's anybody that I know in this whole space that you're in that does a lot of good networking, it's you. So all through the years, like, you know, how do you start out networking with people, building, you know, the kind of connect that you have to survive, and how has it helped your business generally?
Okay, so thank you. So one of the things that you have to know, and I keep saying this about where I come from. I grew up in Aba, and I knew that there was no way I can come to Lagos and be like, you know, I want to take charge without any people who are important in Lagos. So for me, networking is everything. So you meet people. And not because you want to get something from them, but you also want to open up like a rapport, sort of relationship where they can reach you for something and can reach them for something. And so what I've always done is make sure that I am just one phone call away from getting someone who's important. So if you say you want to speak to a governor, I want to be able to know someone who have a direct access to the governor. I've never said I want to be friends with the governor or any of those, but I just want to be friends with people who I know that can reach the governor or the president on every single thing. That's one thing too. I like to say my mind. So, you know, so because people know that you say your mind. So when you don't like them, they know that you don't like them. When you like them, they know that you like them. So people decide if they want you in their company or if they don't want you in that company. So you know how people or what people think of you or how people who people think you are and how you want to do business with them. But for me, if every opportunity is a networking opportunity, so you need to know who is in charge. I love decision makers. I used to tell people this. Even before I write proposals, I need to know, do you have a budget for this? So we don't waste each other's time. I don't want to email you. I don't want to call you. I don't want to keep disturbing you. I don't want to see my phone and turn it upset. Like, you know, I need to know if this is something that works for you. Let me know from get go. So I'm one of those people who like to do that. So for you to do that, you need to know who makes decisions. So you don't go to Chinedu to reach Zainab, from Zainab to reach Aisha to reach like Mohammed or something. You network, you find out who is important, and you also find out who is not important. But everybody is important. But you have to make sure that you are talking to people as what they are important for. Like when I was coming to the studio, I mentioned that I greeted everybody at the reception, because someday I may
never know who.
An appointment, but I just talk to them in a way that they can say, okay, well, let me find out this person is on seat and talk to the person for you. So, but the thing is, networking is important, and we don't get to do a lot of that in Lagos. And networking in Lagos is different. I used to tell people like the most uninteresting and interesting aspect of networking is the fashion people.
Yeah.
There's always a click in fashion. That people who think, oh, you're not, like, you weren't in New York with us in 2016, so we shouldn't be standing with you. People was like, oh, yeah, we're not in Milan. Oh, you know, your fashion is not, it's like, it's still old school kind of thing. But the thing is, like, you have to be able to network through that. But the most important thing is hard work. And if you're doing business in Lagos, you have to be relevant. Lagos is a relevant city. Forget it. Nobody's going to invite you if you have nothing new happening.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to invite you based on old glory. That's why, look at it. Look at the music. Like, people don't put you on the poster if you don't have a hit single.
Exactly.
So imagine people who have songs in 2016 who don't even get invited to shows. And in Nigeria, they don't see people as people who add color to an event unless you're, like, you know, not, most musicians don't get invited to events unless they're performing.
Exactly.
It shouldn't be that. There should be star power. But people don't have star power. So if you ask them able to do that for themselves, Banky W, Files, to mention a few, who YG, people who have been able to make themselves important, they need
and
to
relevant at all times.
Exactly. Yeah, so that way, even if they don't have a hit song, a hit single, you also think they're important to your event. Because that's what you get with networking. Network with the right people. We let them hear you speak when you're not singing. So they can actually gauge how intelligent or how proper you are. So you're invited to events. Yeah.
You know, I was doing a corporate story on the former, you know, CEO of UBA, Tony Elumelu, and, you know, I was digging into, you know, his past, and it was incredible. Like, so many people like spoke to who knew him, how when he started STB, then, like, you know, like anywhere he's going to, he always had a pack of cards, you know, and he just exchanged cards, and then whatever card he takes at the back, he just writes it to the next branch manager, call this person, and then follow up, and then he gets follow up every day. So I mean, like, very important to do networking, you know. So let's move a bit into the entertainment industry now. Yeah. So I mean, like, you've basically, a lot of all the guys that are there today, I mean, you've seen these guys from, like, when they all started. Yeah. I remember I think the first time I probably saw someone like Wizkid was at one of your slush parties back then. I mean, like, you've seen this industry, you know, grow from, you know, 10 years ago to where it is now. So for the kind of craft that you do, I mean, like, how have you benefited from this growth? I mean, entertainment right now is, in fact, even has a line on our GDP today. Yeah. So, I mean, like, how have you benefited from this growth, and where do you see things get into? I mean, how do you see things exploding? I mean, we've seen Wizkid done Nike, you've seen the band, what's his name? What's this other guy's name? Davido, you know, trying to, you know, sign deals with, yeah, you know, other guys. So where, yeah, do you see this going to? How do you benefit from that?
So the thing is, right, you know, so it's funny that you asked me this, because a few months ago on Twitter, I can't remember what I said about music, or somebody was like, oh, what does Nobilugo even know about this? Like, but because people don't respect the journey, people don't know where
I
started in a meeting with someone, I was talking about what we've done in Lagos. Somebody was like, oh my God, I thought you're just a popular on Instagram. I'm like, okay. That's interesting. Because for me, I have been able to work with some of these guys before they became big. And I didn't just work with them by just being in the studio. I listened to some of the music they brought out. I said, I think we should change this. I think we should change this. Oh, I think we should work on this. I think we should work on this. Like, maybe their album, their artwork, their difference in the arrangement of the song. I told somebody to go and buy Banky's second Nigerian album and look at the back. So when a person bought it and saw my name at the back, we're like, oh my God, like, you did this. I was like, listen, yeah. Banky's Lagos Party remix.
Yeah,
this is a funny one. You know how music grows and people come at different levels. At the time Banky put out a Lagos Party remix, the band was a big artist, and Banky was still upcoming in Nigeria, so Banky couldn't talk to the band in that way. I took Banky's Lagos Party remix to the band and Don Jazzy and asked them to come on the song. And when they did their own verse on the song, they gave it to me to take back to Banky. So, I mean, that's how hard, like, you know, I was working in entertainment then. So how does it work for me? So it's working for me in a different way now, because I don't do a lot of this as much as I used to back in the day. Because music is a bit different now. Music is a money business. So if you have money, you can go to the radio stations or go to the TV and be able to buy a spot and everything. I did music when within, you have to prove that the music is a hot song.
Yeah.
By the sort of traditional promotion that we used to do back in the day. And but I still have my network. And for people who work in the industry, who have spoken to some of these big artists, they always tell them the story of when they used to work with me. So some of these guys also still have the respect and come to me to say, oh, Okanobu, what can we do? So on the flip side, when I have my event, I'm able to get them at a discount. I'm able to get them to come for the event. And in the other way around, I also support their hustle.
Their hustle as well.
Because of how Nigerian is, right? We can only be big for some time, because we are not loyal.
Yeah.
So the music artist who ignores you today, tomorrow may need your services. You know, the crowd have moved someone new and they have a new single they need to push, but they need to come to you. But because they were doing so big, like, you know, so I can give you this example. When they say, oh, then radio on air personalities collect payola, but you also know the reason is, right? I'm not saying they do or they do not. But you know, when an artist is about to blow, he comes to the radio station himself. He establishes that rapport, the contact, right? So he put out a single and the single becomes big. So he comes with his peer, but he still comes to the radio station. The single becomes bigger. Then he sends the peer to the radio station. Then he becomes a big artist. Then the radio station AOP cannot reach him anymore. So the AOP is now saying, you know what? I cannot reach you in 5 years' time. So I want to make all my monies now.
Right,
so
now.
In 5 years, when you're big, we don't have to have any relationship.
Exactly. So that thing kind of affects you know, how business get executed.
Must you do that? That's the question.
I mean, like, I don't know though, but it looks as if, I mean, that's the model right now. I mean, it's the trajectory of how our entertainment industry.
I think
is
every
growing.
Good music would sell itself, irrespective of whether
you need to hype it. Even Jay-Z hypes his music till today.
Most of the Nigerian AOPs are not really ready to break out new songs. Most people just want to play the popular ones, because there are a lot of good songs out there.
Yeah.
So if you want to talk about good songs working for themselves, you people should dedicate a day where you play only good songs and let the public decide which one they should repeat in the station. But it does not happen until it becomes big on social media, or somebody who is big is powering it.
All right, guys, we've had Nobilugo on the show. Dude has been dropping some good nuggets. What's paining me now is that we're running out of time. I actually wanted to go into social media and have you actually used it to market.
I kind of
feel like we would have learned a lot, because I mean, you're one guy who does a lot of social media.
We'll probably
have you back. You know, and make sure there's a bottle of very good
Cover, that's what I drink now.
All right, Lagos. So that's our show for this week. If you missed the show, you're just tuning in. This was Business Half Hour. We do this every Monday morning, 8 to 8:30. Nairametrics brings you some of the very important entrepreneurs in Nigeria today, people that are doing also some amazing business. You've just seen somebody with a conglomerate here, so you've never heard of 360 Nobs before, then better go search the internet for 360 Nobs. So Noble, great having you here. So if in case you missed the show, remember you can always get a podcast version of it tomorrow, nairametrics.com/podcast. There'll be a podcast version of this and you can listen to it over and over and over again. That's our show for this week, Bukola.
All right, Samuel Unduma couldn't send you a question, but I'm sure he can follow you on Twitter if he has anything to ask you, Noble. So what's your Twitter handle?
Is Noble the slush kid? Like you go say, I'm the slush kid.
Yeah, Noble's the slush kid. That's what I call it.
Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day.